Thank you, Eric. All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm Craig Poston. On the back of your bulletin, it says counseling minister. If there's anything you'd like to sit down, have a cup of coffee about, and just see what the Bible says, or just talk about, be willing to do that with you, like to do that with you. And I'll be on the Thailand mission team coming out, so we appreciate your prayers and all the support from the church. So today, I'm going to take a little pause on Daniel. Wanted to talk about being a baby, all right? So, you know, the way I just lay these sermons out to the Lord, I've got like five scriptures, and I say, Lord, which one? Which one do you want? And it just, my wife asked me, why are you teaching on this one? I said, you know what? It's just like process of elimination. This one's the last one standing as I pray through it. So that's how we came upon this. But really, God's been just ministering in my heart about being a blessing. And so just wanted to share that with you today. So Jesus calls the little children to him. Literally, it's babies. In Mark, it says babies. Come to me. Don't hinder them, Jesus says, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be like a baby. That's what Jesus says. Be a baby. All right? That's why I titled this, Be a Baby. All right? There's a bad way to be a baby, all right? We're going to talk about a good way of being a baby, all right? What is it about a baby that God lifts up to our observation and our emulation? And God says, be like this. Well, God's going to give us a contrast between a baby and a non-baby so we can see. Let's take a rich, powerful, young, ruling businessman and let's contrast him with a baby. So that's the message today, the baby and the businessman, all right? In all three synoptic gospels, they give different videos of Jesus' life, all right, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of these have these two stories together. So when you get the blessing of the baby, you always get the businessman following that. So three times, God says, I don't want you to miss this point, Christian. This is too important for you to miss. So I'm going to give it to you three times. Can't miss it. So, why does God tie these two stories together? What are we not supposed to miss? All right, let's start with babies. Point one, parents bring their babies to Jesus so that Jesus can bless the babies. Verse 15, now they were even bringing infants, literally, it's the Greek word for babies, to Jesus that he might touch them. Like I said, Mark literally uses the word babies. Jesus took the babies in his arm, this is what Mark says, and he blessed the babies, and he put his hands on the babies, and he blessed them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. All right? Who bothers you? Who just annoys you? Who interrupts your day? But you're just like stuck with this person, and they just cause this constant friction. There are two apples up in a tree. And they were looking, they were just observing humanity. And one apple says to the other, look at all those people. They just bicker and they argue and they're friction and they're just fighting all the time. One day we apples are going to rule the world. And the other apple says to him, which ones, the green or the red? Oh, come on, that was a little better than that. All right, you get friction in the apples, you get friction with the people, okay. Jesus had people who always annoyed him. They always were interrupting his life. All right. In fact, this you could call this the story of two interruptions. All right. How do you handle interruptions? All right. You're busy doing something, somebody interrupts you. Jesus has his way of dealing with interruptions, and the apostles have their way. And let me just say as a hint, we don't say WWAD. What would the apostles do? All right, we say WWJD. What would Jesus do? All right, so the apostles are going to handle it badly. Who do you think annoys the apostles? What type of person peeves the apostle Peter? What kind of person? Babies. Peter just says, babies, I don't like them. All right, Jesus, the parents are bringing their babies. Jesus, would you please pray for our kids? Put your hands on our kids. Bless our children. Let's stop there and apply this for a second. All right, parents, do you bring your kids to Jesus? Right? That's what these parents are doing. They're bringing their babies, their little kids, to Jesus. Do you bring your children to Jesus? All right, do you pray for Jesus to bless your children? Good parents bring their children to Jesus by telling them about Jesus. That's what good parents do. Good parents ask Jesus, Jesus, bless my child. All right? And may I also say, good grandparents. Good grandparents bring their grandkids to Jesus and ask Jesus to bless their grandkids. So these parents bring their kids to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you please bless my baby? And the disciples rebuke these mothers and fathers and say, get out of here with your babies. All right, how's that for the apostles? Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, said, any person who shall forbid us to pray for our children will certainly both sin against that child and sin against the Lord Jesus himself. All right? So our attitude should be like Jesus' attitude. Jesus welcomes children. Paul Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress fame, had this little evangelistic book that he wrote for kids. I saw this years ago, and it just warmed my heart, just his title. Here's the title of Paul Bunyan's book for kids: Come and Welcome to Jesus. I want to come to Jesus, all right, with a title like that. I want to read that book. Come and Welcome to Jesus. So, do you like kids? Jesus loved kids. Now, my buddy Daryl, he's a pastor in Austin, Texas. He's 6'4", white hair, big white guy. All right, for years we did mission trips to Haiti together and to other places. All right, and we'd take turns preaching in churches. Well, it was his turn one time, and we show up in this village church, and there's only 10 adults, and there's about 50 kids. So Daryl stands up in the pulpit. He instantly changes his message from whatever he had brought to this passage, and he talked about how Jesus loved children. He welcomes children. Jesus wants children with him. You know, by the end of that sermon, all these 50 kids are cheering for Daryl. They loved hearing about how Jesus welcomes children, all right? And so we're going door to door, person to person, sharing the gospel all week. Guess who Daryl has following him around? He's got these 50 kids, all right? Everywhere Daryl went that week, they went, all right? They just loved a person who had an attitude of blessing them. Children love to be blessed. Children love to be happy. They love to be given attention. All right, they're not interruptions to adults. In fact, Psalm 127 says, children are a heritage or an inheritance from the Lord. Offspring are a reward to parents. Blessed is the one whose quiver is full. You got a lot of kids, you are blessed by God. That's the Bible's attitude. Now, why are the disciples so heartless and so rude to these parents? What is the deal here? Well, the disciples seem to feel that these kids are a waste of Messiah's time. All right? This is the very Messiah of God. And you people are interrupting him and wasting his time with the very lowliest of people. All right? You're bringing babies. Stop bothering Jesus with your babies. All right? That's their attitude. James Dobson calls babies an appetite surrounded by a noise. All right? That's a baby. All right? Babies do nothing to commend themselves to us. Babies are not smart. They don't do chores around the house, all right, do they? They're not helping out. They're not a good income source, all right? All they can do as babies is believe you, depend on you, love you, all right? In business terms, they bring nothing to the table. So to many people, kids are an interruption, an annoyance. In fact, this is nothing new. Back in the 1700s, William Penn, founder of Pennsylvania, this is what he said. Men are generally more careful of their horses and of their dogs than they are of their children. Ouch. All right, we would say today, men are more concerned with their jobs and their cars than they are of their kids. All right? Not to be that way, but that's the way the disciples were. But not Jesus. Jesus says, bring me your children. I want to bless the babies. All right. Now, how can we bless our children? All right. And if you don't have kids, all right, how can you be a blessing to those around you, either roommate or spouse or somebody at work? How can you be a blessing? We're to be blessings. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. That's our calling too as Christians. In fact, I was just going to make this whole message about being a blessing. But here's some ideas, all right? How can you be a blessing as a Christian? And I thought I'd take a different turn on it. Do you smile at other people? I walk down the hallway sometimes at work, and like, man, that person just looks miserable and grumpy, all right? That is not inviting, all right? And you have to turn that around. Am I inviting others into my life? Do you smile, all right, at others? A good smile can warm the heart of another person. Now, let me tell you a story. It's a little bit embarrassing, all right? But I was in a missions conference a few years ago, and there was about 20 of us sitting around a large table. And the mission speaker speaking, he's drawing on the board, whiteboard, and everything like that. And I started to think about other things, and I looked over, and Rick Eisman, some of you may know, is on the other side of the table. Longtime friend, older guy, spiritual father for me. Well, he sees me looking at him, and he smiles at me. He gives me this smile that was so warm and not judgmental, grace-filled, and just accepting. I started crying. It just like pierced right into me. Emotionally, it just pierced right into me. I'm starting crying at this missions meeting. Everybody's looking at me. And the guy who's speaking stops. He's like, are you okay? All right. So I just said, I looked at Rick, and his smile was so full of love that it just touched me. All right. Well, guess what? All that next week, all right, my peers, my colleagues, walking down the hall smiling at me. All right. Is that a look of love, Craig? Is that a look of love? All right. They're asking Rick, hey, Rick, give us that look of love, brother. All right. So, but a smile can do that for a person. It can just connect. All right. How is your resting face? Right. What's your default look? Right. How's your default look? Does it invite people in? Is it a grimace? All right, do people look at you while you're just thinking about something and you're grimacing? Or do you have a great resting face that can invite other people? All right, I'm just saying, maybe work on that this week. All right, your focus on being a blessing can make you a blessing. If you focus this week on, Lord, I want to be a blessing, you can be made to be a blessing. Researchers asked a group of college students, are you happy? Well, most say, yeah, pretty happy. Yep, doing well in school. And then they ask the follow-up question, how many dates have you been on in the last year? Like, not too many. Right? Then the researchers took a whole other group of college students, and they flipped it. How many dates have you been on in the last year? Not very many. Are you happy? No, definitely not happy. Do you see how the order of the questions, right? The focus that they made those people focus on determined their reality, all right? This week, work on being a blessing. There's a man in a supermarket, and he's pushing a cart, and he's got his screaming kid there, just screaming at the top of his lungs. And this man's saying, don't yell, George. Come on, George, keep it together. Be patient, George, be patient. And this lady walks up to him and said, mister, I just got to commend you for all the patience you have with little George. And he says, lady, I'm George. All right? We got to work on ourselves. All right? So being a blessing. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. I like that one. Being a blessing does not come naturally. All right? Hear me. Being a blessing comes supernaturally. All right? You need to invite the Holy Spirit. You got to invite the Lord to come do it through you. Can you find something encouraging this week to say to another person, all right, to your child? Son, you smell so much better today than you did yesterday. All right, good job. All right. Hey, you were really kind to your sister today. I noticed it, just wanted to say thank you for doing that. Or, hey, great job in that project. Or Psalm 139 says you are wonderfully and uniquely made. All right, I'm so glad you're my daughter, just the way God wanted you to be. Totally accepted. All right, parents, this is just a little personal thing with me. Can we say yes to our kids as much as possible? All right? I had to really pray about this because I found myself in a rut of no. Like, no, don't interrupt me. You're annoying me. You know, no, no, no. And so a few years ago, I just determined, you know what? As much as I can, my first default is going to say yes. I want to say yes to my kids. And hopefully they know that now. And so they know they can bring me the wildest, wacky, hey, we want to do this. Now, and their first thought is, he shouldn't allow this, all right? We shouldn't be able to do this. But I think Dad's going to let us do it, all right? Or maybe we can talk about it and negotiate it or something like that, but he wants us to do it. Can we say yes to our kids? I'm on their side. We dads are on the sides of our kids. And their first instinct should be to say, Dad's on my side. He wants to do this. So fathers, no matter what age of your kids, can we speak words of encouragement to our kids? All right? Now, the Bible, this is very important because the Bible strictly commends fathers not to do something. Do not exasperate your children. Father, if you don't know this, know this. You, fathers, and myself are given to exasperating. You know what that word in Greek means? To put the flame out of our kids. That's the way. If you're not relying on the Holy Spirit, if you're not reading the Word, if you're not trying to ask God to be a good father through you, you will extinguish the light of your kids. That's the way dads are. All right? So Scripture says specifically to dads, don't do that. All right? So dads, let's turn it around. Let's encourage. Let's build the light up in our kids. Moms, bless your kids with the things that you're saying to them. Proclaim. How about your texts and your tweets and things? Are you known as one who builds people up with your words? So just a few things. Pray about this week. Lord, make me a blessing to those around me. WWJD, not WWAD. Jesus loved babies. Jesus blesses babies. And now Jesus even says, I want you to be like a baby. Point two, be like a baby. So Jesus called these parents to him, saying, let the children come to me. Don't hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall never enter it. Wow, okay. I want to go to heaven. I want to enter the kingdom of God. I don't want to miss this point. If there's something I shall never enter heaven for this, I want to make sure I've got this. All right? So Jesus welcomes children into his presence, and then he turns to his disciples, and he uses this physical situation as a spiritual teaching point. All right? God only accepts people who are like children, Jesus says. So be a baby. All right? If you've ever asked yourself, what do I have to do to be welcomed by God? What do I have to do to be welcomed by God? Here's Jesus' answer. Be a baby. All right? Unless you receive the kingdom of God, the gospel, like a child, you shall never enter God's kingdom. So to Jesus, there's a two-step process. First, step one, come to Jesus. Step two, come to Jesus like a baby. All right? Jesus says, children are the personification of what my people are. A baby does not tell God, look at all my accomplishments, God, therefore accept me. A baby does not tell God how many good things that they have done. A baby does not say, God, these are all the things, the reasons I deserve to get into your kingdom. A baby does not compare himself. Look how much better I am against that other baby. All right? I'm so much better, God. You really should accept me. That's not what a baby does. A baby simply depends on the love of the Father. Takes the Father at his word. Comes accepting God and everything that God does for him. That's what a child of God is. So Jesus says, physically, bring your children to me. Bring your babies to me. And spiritually, Jesus says, come to me like these babies, innocent, humble, fully dependent on the mercies of the Father. That's the only way you will enter the kingdom of God. That's what it takes to be a Christian. So that's a great theological focus for our passage. Be a baby. Enter God's kingdom and presence humbly. All right? Be a spiritual baby. Surrender yourself. Receive what Jesus has for you. Now, that's the positive. Be a baby. That's a positive. Now, Jesus is going to give us a flip side. Now, we get the negative example. Okay? So, positive, negative. Every time in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the babies are given, there's always the second person who comes. All right? There's another fellow, and he's going to come to Jesus in the exact opposite way of a baby. He's the cool guy in high school, we would say. Everyone likes. Everyone chooses this guy to be on their team. If you're a girl, that's the girl that everybody wants to go to the mall with. All right? So the businessmen, they want to pay to hear this guy teach on success. That's this guy. If you asked anyone, what would you like to be like? They'd probably say three things. Young, rich, and powerful. A ruler. Well, here comes one, and we classically call him the rich young ruler. That's who this is, rich young ruler. He's everything that a child is not. Now notice, Christ's followers don't want babies coming into Jesus' presence, but they will not raise one note of discord when the businessman comes. They're not going to say, don't come to Jesus. They're not going to stop him. They want him. All right, he's everything the flesh wants. Wealth, power, looks, youth. All right, and here's his question. It's point three. He's going to say, what do I do to be saved? And the ruler asked him, verse 18, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, that's a great question. In fact, we call it the question of questions. All right, what actions must I do to ensure I will go to heaven? Now, you don't do anything. You surrender your life and you receive God's gift of salvation. Jesus has just explained that. You got to be a baby. So theologically, on salvation, this man is completely off base. All right? Will Jesus correct him? How does Jesus respond to somebody like this? All right? Here we have a fellow. He's rich. He's young and a ruler. But something's missing in his life. All right? Like Bono sings, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. That's this man. All right? Mark, the Gospel of Mark records that this man runs up to Jesus, falls on his knees, and is pleading before Jesus. All right? So I don't see this as somebody who's arrogant, chest out. All right? This is a desperate man. I think that's a great way to see him. He's desperate. All right? He's maybe a 23-year-old, 24, 25-year-old. All right? And one issue is burning on his heart. How am I going to go to heaven? I must know that. So while his peers are out there dating, his peers are playing Xbox or binging Netflix, this guy will not rest until he settles that question. I want to know for sure that I'm going to heaven. So let's see how Jesus is going to answer this. Point four. Here's Jesus' standard. Verse 19, and Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. All right. A businessman known for his ruthlessness once announced to Mark Twain, before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land and climb Mount Sinai and there read the Ten Commandments. And Mark Twain responded, I have a better idea. Why don't you just stay in Boston and obey the Ten Commandments? All right? So are you ready for this man's response? Here's what he says. Jesus lays out all these commandments. And this man says, verse 21, all of these I have kept from my youth. All right? Nailed it, Jesus. All right? All Ten Commandments? No problem. I've done it. All right? It's not the issue. Jesus is going to get to the heart of this man's issue here on our last point, point five. Do no wrong, but do something right. Verse 22 to the end here. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. There's Jesus' little arrow to the heart. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. The rich young ruler had done nothing wrong. But hear this. You can do nothing wrong, but not do something right. There are two kinds of sins. We call it the sins of commission and the sins of omission. All right? Sins of commission that you commit are things you do that you should not have done. All right? I'll go on record as saying I'm against those. All right? Don't do the things that you should not do. All right? But you know what really probably grieves the heart of the Heavenly Father more? Is sins of omission. Things that you should have done. Things that you could have done. Right things. Good things. That you leave. You omit to do. Man, I think those hurt. Think about it from a human father and mother's perspective about our kids. Carol and I have five kids. And we love it when our kids make the decision not to do the wrong thing. All right? Praise God for that. Parents love it when their kids do not do the wrong things. But as a dad, I know what our kids can become. I see their potential. I see their giftings. Parents, we believe in our kids. We are our kids' champions. We long to bless our kids. So my deepest desire as a parent is not just that they don't do wrong. It's that they do the right things. All right? To see them grow in their giftedness and completely surrender their life to Christ. To say, Christ, I'm all in. Jesus, I'm all in with you. And then you watch as God does amazing, unique things in your child's life and makes them a blessing in their own generation. All right? That's how human mothers and fathers think about our kids. All right? How do you think the Heavenly Father thinks about our kids? You can't tell me that his definition, God's definition of spiritual maturity is to come to a church service, sit for 90 minutes on a Sunday. All right? And not do anything wrong. Therefore, God is very pleased. All right? Now, that's good, but there's more here. You have a Heavenly Father, kids, who loves you, who is on your side. He loves you. He believes in you. Guess what? He's given you giftings. He's given you purposes. He has plans in your life. All those right things for you to do. And he's cheering for you. Go do them. All right? Launch out. Launch out into this world. Do the right thing. Bless those around you. Now, note, this rich young ruler did nothing wrong. The problem is, he has not done the right thing. He did not surrender his life to Jesus like a baby. Right? He has not come to Jesus like a spiritual baby. He's come to Jesus, how? With his hands full of things. Here, Jesus, accept me for these things. So Jesus is going to tell him, Mister, sell your possessions, give to the poor, and follow me. All right, now, time for a little bit of honesty here. How many of us feel a little bit sorry for this rich young ruler? All right? When we read the Bible, we can often have a Peter response. All right? Where you kind of pull Jesus aside. Jesus, I just correct you a little bit. I think you're a little bit off on this. All right? That's what Peter loved to do with Jesus. All right? And we can do the same thing. So we might want to pull Jesus aside here and say, Jesus, all right, you got a guy who's coming to you. He wants the right things. All right? You're telling him to sell everything. Can we just start at the tithe? All right, Jesus? Hey, how about 10%? Let's just start him there, and then we'll work up. All right? That's not what Jesus wants. Jesus is not looking for this man's money, is he? Now, Jesus was a supported short-term missionary. This one man could have bankrolled his whole mission ministry for Jesus. But Jesus does not want this man's money. Jesus says, in fact, give it all to the poor. Jesus is not going to take any of this man's money. Give it all away to the poor. Help the poor. Jesus does not need our money. Jesus does not want our money. What does Jesus want? Us. He wants us. All right? So that's why Jesus says to this man, come follow me. Come follow me. Be a baby. All right? Come follow me. Be with me. Give up all those things you're doing to please God and make yourself completely dependent on Jesus. Now, that's true of our salvation. But you know, for us Christians, especially mature Christians, that's also true of us for our sanctification, how we walk with the Lord. You and I do not do things to bless God. All right? We come surrendered, empty-handed to God every day. And we say, Lord, bless me. All right? It's not the flip side around. So the rich young ruler had his hands full of his own things. A baby comes to his father and mother empty-handed. All right, Christian, is there anything that you're holding in your hands right now that you need to surrender to the Lord? Anything you're holding on to that you need to surrender today to make yourself baby-like, completely dependent on the Heavenly Father? Maybe there's a sin you're holding on to. Maybe there's a possession that has you, right? Or a relationship that just you know it needs to be surrendered to the Lord. Or maybe there's a fear that has gripped you. Right? And a lot of my counseling is it's fear. Fear is a major issue in a Christian's life. Right? Psychologists tell us that every babies are born with only two fears. All right? The fear of loud noises and the fear of falling. All right? Everything else is learned. Every other fear we have is a learned fear. Here's the good news. You can unlearn those fears by faith. All right? I was just sitting there before I came up. I was just reflecting through the Bible. How many times does God tell people, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Joshua, Moses doesn't want to go back to his own people, let alone to Egypt. Don't fear. I mean, just make a list of it. It's almost every Christian leader is told by God, don't fear. Pastor Timothy, don't fear. All right? You can unlearn by faith those fears. So just confront those. Now, I've been praying with a certain prayer posture this week because I'm asking the Lord, all right, do the sermon in me before I give it to you. I'm trying to be a baby, all right? So I've been praying with open hands. Lord, I don't want to come to you with things in my hands. I want to come empty, dependent, baby-like. It's been good. I can recommend that to you this week. Try. Just pray. Just pray open-handed prayer. Like the hymn says, nothing in my hands I bring, only to the cross I cling. All right, so I want to come into God's presence every day like a baby. So don't look at the story and say, man, I really feel sorry for that rich young ruler. He had to give up all of his wealth. No, no. Let's flip it and we'll end here. All right, let's flip it one more time and let's end here. Instead of considering what Jesus is asking this man to put on the table, let's see what Jesus is offering him. Not what he has to give up, but what Jesus is offering and inviting him in. Jesus says, come follow me. What an offer. The Son of God has invited this man to follow him. Have you ever had an internship? All right. Internships. All right. Now, when I was at Dallas Theological Seminary, and I had an internship with Prestonwood Baptist Church. And this church is big, 25,000 people. I was one of 30 pastors. All right. We had 3 football fields, 2 baseball diamonds at our church. We had a restaurant and 2 Starbucks in our church. All right, big church. Now, man, internship at the right place with the right people. What doors can open up for a person? All right. Now, what if you had on your resume internship with the Son of God? All right. That looked pretty good on a church resume. All right. We want to see that. All right. Here's the contrast for this rich young ruler. It's the apostles. The apostles have given up everything in their life. They come baby-like in the end with nothing. They are the heroes of our faith, aren't they? They're the ones we rally across. Hebrews 11 does not have the rich young ruler. Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, has these apostles. So here's this man. He's rich. He's young. He's a ruler. And he went away sad, dejected, because he was not willing to let go of his stuff. His possessions possessed him. All right? He held on to life, and in doing that, he lost what's really important in this life. He missed the life opportunity of a lifetime. I want to invite you today, don't miss out. All right? Teens, your life is ahead of you. Intern with Jesus. Follow Jesus. All right? Go all in with Jesus. Adults, Jesus is asking you what he asked of the rich young ruler. Are you willing to let go of your things and to follow him? Monkey trappers in Borneo, this is the way they trap monkeys. They go into a forest and they have a gourd and they tie the gourd to the tree. Now, the gourd is very unique because it has a wide bottom and it has a very narrow neck. All right? And so the monkeys come and the monkey trappers have put a little piece of candy at the bottom of the gourd. And they go, they reach their hand in, they can get their hand in, and then they grab onto that piece of candy, and the monkeys cannot get their fist out of the narrow gourd. If they just let go of the candy, guess what? They get their hand out. But even with the monkey trappers coming to trap them, these monkeys hold on to the candy. They are trapped by what they hold on to. Right? Don't be a monkey. Right? Is there something you need to let go of and give to God? Jesus is worth it. God is a God of blessing. Jesus longs to bless you. So can I extend the invitation that Jesus extended over 2,000 years ago? He said, come follow me. Come follow me. And remember what he also said. All right, I'm with you. All right, I'll never leave or forsake you. That's not just God abstractly watching over you. That's God with you. He is with you in this life. Jesus is with you. All right. So follow him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the invitation that you extended to this rich young ruler, and you extend to us today. Lord, I pray for myself and for all those here who might be holding on to something, whether it's a fear or a sin or a relationship or possession that possesses them. Help us to let go and to follow you and to know the abundant life that you promise us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.